Exaltation of Christ the Redeemer. This program is originating in the sanctuary of the Burns Avenue Baptist Church, Detroit, Michigan. At the conclusion of the signature, you will hear from Gordon Ernst.
The greatest compliment paid to the Lord Jesus was uttered by his enemies. This man receiveth sinners. My friend, he's ready to make you one of his own tonight. Believe it in faith. Listen as our chorus choir opens the program with that great hymn, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. Negro spiritual, King Jesus, I am a listener.
King Jesus is a listening all day long. King Jesus is a listening all day long. Jesus is a listening all day long to hear some sinner pray. That gospel train am coming, is rumbling through the land. I hear them wheels a-hummin', get ready for the train.
King Jesus is a-listenin'
all day long.
King Jesus is a-listenin'
all day long.
King Jesus is a-listenin'
all day long to hear some sinner pray. I know I've been converted, I ain't gonna make no alarm. My soul's been anchored in Jesus, and the devil can't do me no harm.
King Jesus is a-listening
all day long.
King Jesus is a-listening
all day long.
King Jesus is a-listening
all day long. All day long.
Christ shall come for his own. There will be no more disappointments or sorrows. And praise God, he shall abolish death and dark valleys. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, neither light. They shall reign forever and ever.
There be no dark valley.
Are you going to be ready when Jesus comes? Is he going to be able to say to you at the close of life's day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? May Eleanor Russell bless your soul as she sings, "If I But Knew."
When twilight comes to end my day,
Stuart Luzzi, your gospel trumpeter, will thrill your hearts as he plays on his golden tone instrument that comforting song, Someday he'll make it plain to me. Can you truly say the Lord is my shepherd? If you are his very own, he in turn can say, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine.
Oh.
Arthur Thome, our tenor soloist, will now stir your souls as he sings A Little Nearer Home.
Since I started on my journey toward the heavenly land, where I'll join the happy throng, the happy throng, where I'll join the happy God's throne. I have met with many trials, hard to understand, but each day I've come a little nearer home. Nearer home. Nearer home. Every day I've come a little nearer home.
For you to give a few more moments of your precious time may mean your soul's destiny, for the Heavenly Father desires to speak to you through his ambassador, your youthful radio preacher, Reverend Richard Wilkinson, speaking on the theme, What is the Bible?
Lord, we pray that thou will reveal thyself through thy word tonight, and that we may openly see thee as thou hast promised and live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mr. Borum, in one of his books, says, An acorn is a wonderful thing. It is a pocket edition of a forest. You may count how many acorns there are in an oak tree, but you can never count how many oak trees are in an acorn. Space is a wonderful thing. It is the tabloid of infinity. Time is a marvelous thing. It is the tabloid of eternity. The Bible is a wonderful thing. It is a pocket edition of the highest of life, of the thought of God. What is the Bible? Is it merely a book or a library of books? The collection of the writings of some 40 writers, kings, herdsmen, prophets, fishermen, priests, and physicians, written over a period of about 1,600 years? Is it merely the thoughts of men about man and God, and therefore full of errors and inconsistencies and contradictions? Is it just a book of the folklore and superstitions of an ancient Oriental people which we have today, but tomorrow will be outmoded and relegated to the library shelves with the rest of the outdated and disproven theories of ancient civilization? Is that all the Bible is? What is the Bible? To answer this question, it would be best to hear the testimony of the scriptures about themselves. I quote, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Thus we see the scriptures claim to be the word of God revealed unto men by his Holy Spirit. A Jew who had given into his possession a New Testament as security for a loan determined to read it in order to strengthen his hatred of Christ and to better ridicule his teaching. His first reading, however, taught him that Jesus was worthy not of hatred, but of highest respect, of admiration and love. Convinced that he had somehow made a mistake, he read the New Testament again more carefully to find some cause for hatred and disrespect. But again he was unable to discover anything that was absurd or that bore the stamp of falsehood, while on the other hand, he discovered wisdom which was more of heaven than earth, of comfort inexpressible for an afflicted mind, and a hope of immortality which seemed to deliver him from that dreadful anxiety with which the thoughts of the future had so often troubled him. Still, he could not overcome his prejudice, but read the New Testament a third time, resolving that if he could find no excuse or reason for his hatred, he would become a Christian, but that if he could discover the slightest tokens of deceit or fraud, he would forever detest the Christian religion. During the third reading of the history of Jesus, his doctrine and his promises, the Jew was quite overcome. The love of Christ filled his very soul, and like Saul of Tarsus, he cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And believe. I have yet to find the man who does not believe the Holy Scriptures, who has really studied the Word of God itself. Anyone who will come and study the Scriptures to find the truth of them, rather than only studying the writings of men denying the Scriptures, will find in them God revealed in all of his wonder and his love and eternal life for all who will believe. Dr. Harry Rimmer said recently that an offer of $100 to any person who could prove a scientific error in the Bible has withstood the challenge of more than 2,000 persons over a period of 15 years, and the offer still stands. The offer was made by the Archaeological Department of the International Association of Research Science Bureaus. What a testimony to the accuracy of the Bible. No modern books of science over a 15-year period can stand a test like that. Yet the Bible has stood for 2,000 years without being successfully attacked. Almost all men whose judgment is to be respected speak highly of the Scriptures as the Word of God and as deserving the most careful attention of all. Many of our presidents bear witness to its greatness. Andrew Jackson said, "It, the Bible, is the rock on which our republic rests." Abraham Lincoln, "I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible, Take all of this book upon reason that you can, and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man. Ulysses S. Grant said, "Hold fast to the Bible as a sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts on your hearts. Practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made. And to this book, we must look as our guide in the future." Teddy Roosevelt said, "Almost every man who has by his life work added to the sum of human achievement of which the race is proud and of which our people are proud, almost every such man has based his life work upon the teachings of the Bible. To read the rolls of the great men of the ages, those whose lives have contributed most to the advancement of mankind, is to find men who heartily endorse the Bible as the Word of God." John Wesley, the great founder of the Methodist Church, gave this profound but simple explanation of the origin of God. "It must be," he said, "either the invention of good men or angels, bad men or devils, or of God. It cannot be the invention of good men or angels, for they neither could nor would write such a book and tell lies all the times they were writing it, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord.' It could not be of bad men or devils, for they would not and could not write a book which commands all duties, forbids all sin, and condemns their own souls to a lost eternity. Therefore, we must admit it is of God." Let me ask you a question. What is the Bible to you? Will you take it and sincerely study its contents? If you will, you will find, as others have, its life-transforming power. Hear the invitation of God to study his word. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Will you let the scriptures examine you and show you your shortcomings? Hear it. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death." Will you believe its witness concerning Christ? "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Oh, will you follow its direction and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved? If you will, you will find that the Bible is the very word of God, and find real life therein. Christ said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Oh, friends, make the Bible your word of God. Believe it. Trust its contents. Take it, Savior, and live today. There's no other revelation of God to man but the Bible, the holy word of God. Do it tonight, and write and tell us of your decision to live believing in this word.
Each week at this time as a peaceful interlude of sacred music and words of encouragement designed for your listening pleasure and your spiritual guidance. We are deeply grateful for the many letters from our radio listeners telling us of the blessings received from these broadcasts. We know that many of you will want to review the inspiring thoughts advanced tonight by Reverend Wilkinson in his message, "What is the Bible?" To receive a copy, simply send your request to Echoes of Heaven, Post Office Box 5, Detroit 31, Michigan. As part of their Christian service, Echoes of Heaven offers personal spiritual counsel to those who have burdens on their hearts. So if you have a spiritual need, or if you desire prayer for loved ones, won't you ask for our help? Your letter is addressed to Echoes of Heaven, Post Office Box 5, Detroit 31, Michigan, will be promptly acknowledged. This program, which is maintained on the air through the gifts of the radio audience, will return next week at this same time with more of your favorite gospel songs and another message from Reverend Wilkinson. Until then, Echoes of Heaven bids you good night, and may God bless you. This is the Wolverine Network.